You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Happy ALCS Game 4 Thursday to all of you. Yesterday was supposed to be Game 4, but I think we went through yesterday's show kind of conceding that Mother Nature was going to rule the day yesterday. Not today, biatch. Today, baseball will be played. Tonight, more specifically, baseball will be played, and damn it, Zach Greinke is going to be on the mound ready to go against Masahiro Tanaka at Yankee Stadium. What's happening? My name is Sean Pendergast. I'm alongside original Texan, Seth Payne. Hello, Seth.
He's due. That's what Greinke is. He's due.
Yeah, he is due.
It's sure. Has it been several years since he had a really good playoff performance? Of course it has. All that means, I've learned this from my nerdy friends, regression to the mean. This is what's going to happen. His ERA is going to regress to the mean. Even though he's never actually had a good mean in the playoffs, it'll regress to that one.
It'll regress to that mean. The longer if you're generally good at what you do, then it means the longer you've sucked, the more due you are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he is like super due.
Look, for people that don't understand math.
Gather around, kids.
They get all dazzled by, allowing runs. And then, sure, it hasn't looked like he's been all that great in the postseason in general or this year in particular.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. Regression of the mean and such. That's what I say.
If you were going to explain this to you the way Bill O'Brien explains in-game decisions, you need to be in math to understand kind of how regression to the mean works.
Nobody that's not in math would ever understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
Just trust me. Also, give me money and I'll give you 20% a year on your hedge fund.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So it was kind of like having a night off last night for us a little bit. Because Wednesday is, I don't know how you feel, Wednesday's like the deadest day on TV. Like, there's nothing on TV on Wednesday.
I don't really ever check what's on actual TV in primetime anymore either.
Yeah.
I find myself, it's not even an option.
Yeah.
Like, so last night I had been planning on watching baseball, and you're right, all of a sudden there's no baseball. And there's no part of my brain that's like, oh, let's check out what's on in primetime on the networks. I don't know. That's largely gone out of my playbook.
I let Amy handle most of my television scheduling of things. So therefore, I wind up watching a lot of really crappy reality TV through osmosis of me sitting there working on the rundown to the show and communicating with you. There's really, really terrible television going on in the background, like these reality shows and stuff like that, which are awesome.
Yeah.
But apparently, she tells, I'll admit, I'm stealing her take, Wednesday's not a very good night for TV, so tonight would be a good night to go do something.
Let me tell you this. I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through the primetime schedule for Wednesday evening. Because remember when you were in, I can almost remember, like, the Thursday night NBC lineup for a while was just the balls.
Iconic.
Right.
Yeah.
You remember some of those lineups. So I'm going to, from the big four networks, I'm going to tell you.
What were people watching last night?
Last night in primetime, when primetime started.
7, 8 o'clock.
Tell me if you even know half of these four.
Okay.
The Goldbergs. I think I saw a billboard for that.
I see promos for it.
Is that the one with the guy from...
Is that on Fox?
I think that's the one with the guy from the Larry David show, is it not?
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, the agent. That's on ABC.
We're going to sound really connected to pop culture in these next 2 minutes.
Well, it doesn't matter because the 20-year-olds, the hip kids, they don't know any of this stuff.
That's
either.
True. They've cut the cord on all this
stuff.
Yeah.
Survivor, of course. We know that.
Survivor.
I didn't know it was still around. I honestly 100% didn't know that it was actually still going. So good on you.
They've tweaked it many times, but yes, it's still around. Yeah.
The Masked Singer? I've seen a couple little videos of this. I think a famous singer comes and they're wearing a scary mask. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And they try to, they're singing, and then people have to try to guess who they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting concept.
Chicago Med, a story about medicine in Chicago. Best as I can tell.
Oh, a wacky guy owns a pharmacy. All of his friends stop by throughout the day.
It'd be better if it was called Chicago Meds and it was just some guy who's always losing his meds. Meds?
Right. Yeah. Right. So that was
have
the
prime. Have you taken your
line.
Meds? Yeah, and then on the CW, of course, Riverdale. I have no idea what that is.
No, I don't either. So instead, we chose to take our rain out last night. We went and saw The Joker.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How
have you
it?
Seen it yet?
No, I haven't. It's
kind
of creeping me out too. The Joaquin Phoenix is skinny as hell in that, is he not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't and it's watch hard to think a lot of his stuff. Is he normally that skinny?
No. He had to lose weight for this role.
Okay, boy.
I mean, he's Hollywood skinny to begin with.
Yeah.
But he's even skinnier, which means in real life, he probably looked like a piece of uncooked spaghetti.
Yeah, he was emaciated in this movie, and it added to the character for sure. When I was coming in this morning, when I was walking down the hall, you know, we walked past the Bull studio, we walked past the Mix studio, and Lauren Kelly and Jeff Sheen were in there getting ready for their show, and I poked my head in to say, hello. And the big question on their show was, because I told them I saw the Joker last night, they said, wow, it just so happens the big question on our show is, should you take your 8-year-old to see the Joker?
8?
And I'm like, God, no. Like, I'm 50 and Amy is in her early 40s and we were terrified by it. Like,
really?
It was, yes, it's a messed up movie, dude.
Is it?
And especially it's really good, but it's
messed
up.
Anything with a clown.
Yes.
Clowns are terrifying to children.
And there are clowns everywhere in this movie.
Oh, it's not just him, the clown?
No.
There are multiple clowns?
There are clowns. Yes. Yes.
He becomes their lord ruler.
There's a clown movement. That's what it feels like at the end a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, really? Does he start to get acolytes?
I don't
want to spoil it.
Here, okay. Yes.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, a little bit. Here's what. This is not going to spoil the movie for anybody, so I'm not even going to say spoiler alert. You know my issue with most superhero / comic book movies. My big issue is that at the end of the ones that the good guys win, that every single time, the city is torn to pieces afterwards.
Right. You're calculating in your head how many billions of dollars of damages there are,
which really distracts me from the storyline.
Yeah, maybe they should have just surrendered and gone along for a little while, had an underground resistance or something.
It would be easier on the taxpayers, for sure, right? I mean, most people, even if there's a cruel dictatorship, they're just going to wake up and go to work in the morning anyways. So they should have let Zod win or whoever in these movies. Anyways, so that that's my glitch. Well, in this Joker movie, a lot of that happens. There's a lot of damage that's done in this movie. But at the end of the movie, it's told the story of the evil villain. Like, it's logical. I go, okay. Certain kind of way I'm supposed to feel.
You can see how this guy has terrorized an entire city.
And it aligns with my glitchiness over the destruction.
Oh, okay.
Like, why am I supposed to feel good at the end of all these movies with the good guys in it?
Yeah.
If the city has been torn like 9/11 times 10.
Because it could have been worse. It's just like post-World War II Europe, you know?
Blow up the planet. In comes the Death Star.
I don't like, this is what I don't like about it, even before I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
I generally don't like it when people humanize the villain. And I've seen that. Even the trailers themselves will say, this is the first one that's shown the humanity of the Joker. Well, I like there to still be boogeymen in the world.
Yeah.
Where it's not like, I don't need to know exactly how he came to be the scary creature that he is. I don't want to have empathy for the villain. I just want to look at him as this black and white, just evil dude, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Does it humanize him a little bit?
Yes.
Do you feel sympathy for him?
It does. I do.
I don't need that in my life.
I do. Yeah.
Give him the chair. Yeah. That's what I say.
You know what? I'm going to start to veer into an area where I'm spoiling it for people, and we're still only like a week in, and I want to respect a good non-spoiler. But I would say, thumbs up. We enjoyed it. I'm not going to go see it again because I'd like to sleep at some point over the next few months.
So it is that scary, though. That's good to know.
It's pretty scary, yeah.
You know, a lot of people say that horror movies aren't scary anymore, and I think that's usually just from people that have seen a lot of horror movies because it all rolls into the same, and you anticipate the jump scares and whatnot. As somebody that's been terrified of horror movies since a young child, they are still scary to me, and I know this isn't a horror movie per se, but horror movies are still scary to me because I don't go to see them. I don't like it. I never have. So when I do end up kind of being forced or pressured into seeing one, it's still terrifying for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of deeply ashamed of the way I behave during horror movies. And I always worry. I make my wife sit in the back with me because I don't want anybody in the theater that might recognize me to see me like grabbing my wife when I'm scared.
Do you squeal?
No, but I breathe real heavy.
Do you sweat?
I gasp, I guess. Is
do
what
you
I
sweat?
Do. No, but I tremble. Yeah. I tremble and gasp.
Yeah.
And I know, like, even though I know a jump scare is coming, it doesn't matter. It still scares the crap out of me.
Well, that's a sign of a good horror movie. If you're still, if
but
you're
even the bad ones, it doesn't have to be a good
one. Do
you
just sometimes go, let's just make out? I don't even want to look at this movie anymore. We're in the back of the theater, Brandy. Let's just make out and not look at this movie.
I don't think my wife, I don't think that's one of the things she's into.
When was the last time you made out in a movie theater?
I want to get scared and make out. Yeah. That'd be awesome if she was. Why don't you scare me and then make out with me? I can do that.
We watched all the Friday the 13th, and then we made passionate love. So
kind of sick in the head.
So shifting.
And I like it.
Shifting gears here real quick. So there is game 4 tonight. Do we still... I think you and I were on the same side of this argument yesterday, Seth, that we would have liked to have seen Game 4. We would have liked to have seen Game 4 played last night because of just how taxed the Yankee bullpen was. And just to quantify this, Games 2 and 3, the Yankees bullpen pitched 12 and a third innings. Games 2 and 3, the Astros bullpen pitched 6 and two-thirds innings.
Yeah.
Literally about half the amount of usage for the Astros bullpen. I think our feeling was yesterday, boy, this would be a good day to pounce on the Yankees. I saw several counter arguments to feeling like, man, it would have been great if they played yesterday on Twitter. And a lot of them made sense. It winds up being six of one, half a dozen of another, because the bottom line is the Astros, with winning Game 3, have put themselves in a really good position in the series, regardless of when these games are played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are
you still feeling the same way?
I'm feeling I could go either way. For one, I know that yesterday the Yankees, you could say, hey, the Yankees pitchers and the relief staff especially is taxed, so that's a great day for them to have a bullpen day. They're still going to have to play, the Yankees are going to have to play four games in a row again.
Yep.
In some ways, this has turned back into falling where you would have wanted it to fall beforehand, because the strength of your team with the Astros is you in theory, have a much better starting first three pitchers. You definitely do with the first two. Number three is up for grabs. So you now get back into a point where you could conceivably use all three of your starting pitchers in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Cole might have to go on short rest if he goes on Saturday. But you have that bullpen day still looming, but it could be Game 6 or Game 7. You got a little bit more control over it. And the Yankees are still going to have to go, likely, unless there's weather delays, four games in a row. The one thing I wonder, too, is the really hard travel day is going to be Friday to Saturday. Friday night,
yes,
they'll play. Then they travel. They'll get in at 4 or 5 in the morning into Houston. They'll play again that evening. I think the Astros probably have a little bit of a natural advantage there because they get to go home, sleep in their own bed, probably be a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
Now, what I had been hoping, in my mind, I had messed it up somehow. I was thinking that Verlander was going to coach. If Cole, okay, this is where you have an advantage. Maybe Saturday ends up being the bullpen day for the Yankees. In that case, Cole, if he's going to pitch on short rest, can still go home the day before. He'll be here in Houston on Friday. He'll sleep in his own bed, get a good night's sleep on Friday evening, keep up his normal routine and everything, versus potentially, if he plays that day versus a bullpen day or whatnot from the Yankees and a bunch of guys that are maybe beleaguered and tired out by then.
To me, when Cole pitches is completely dictated on what the score of the series is.
Yeah.
If the Astros are up 3-2, then you load up to pitch Cole on full rest and get, you have Cole as a backup in Game 7 on full rest, in part because if you are able to finish off the series in 6, then you get Cole lined up for the beginning of the World Series against the Nationals. You're able to kind of line up your rotation. That winning one of these next two games would be gigantic for the Astros. To come home up 3-2 and then be able to go, you know what, we'll go bullpen day, Game 6, and maybe we win that thing because the Yankees are at a stage where they need to do a bullpen day also. And then we have Cole loaded up for Game 7. To me, Cole only pitches in Game 6 if you lose these next two games.
You know what the beauty of this series is right this moment? You mentioned the Nationals just now, and I was kind of surprised. I thought, oh, wait, yeah, we still have that to worry about potentially.
I've been thinking the same thing, dude.
Honestly, in my mind, I feel like I'm in the zone. All I see is this series.
Yeah.
As an athlete, I wish I could have been like this. This is where I'm so focused on the Yankees that the World Series is almost an afterthought at this moment.
So true, dude. I was thinking about that last night. Amy and I were talking about it in the car, and I'm talking about this, like, and then I think I even made some sort of comment, like, and then they'll have won the whole thing, and I'm like, wait a second, oh crap, there's still a whole other series.
I despise the Yankees fans so much at this point that just keeping the Yankees out of the World Series
feels like a win.
For a full decade feels like a win. Yeah,
I know. I wish the Nationals were more hateable. All right,
we'll find a way.
We will. We'll conjure up some fabricated hatred for sure.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.